Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company. Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company. Welcome to the Veronica Edwards Show, where we have fun financial conversations that everyone listening can apply to their personal and professional life. I'm your host, Veronica Edwards, and I'm excited to be back here in 2022 on my show here on Biz Radio Asheville. Can't even believe that we're in the new year. And as always, I want to thank the listeners for downloading the show and us reaching more streaming platforms. I want to also always thank Matt Matan. And of course, now my CPA chat buddy, I want to thank Michelle for being a part of this monthly segment with me. I haven't said in a while, but Michelle has, I'm going to date her, 30 years of accounting experience. She is my CPA Shiro. She knows so much stuff. And it was Michelle's idea for us to have this conversation today about 990s. So for all those small business nonprofit owners, I hope you're listening, because this is going to be very informative, talking about what is a 990, what, you know, how do you file? When's it due? But first, let me just introduce my co-host, Miss Michelle Tross, owner of Michelle Tross CPA CFE PLLC. How are you, friend?
I am good. Thank you so much for that introduction. Absolutely. I'm excited. 990s, boy, I tell you, this is good stuff.
Yeah. You know, last month we talked about sales tax, just jumping into the new year, making aware for small business owners that, hey, in addition to income tax, you have sales tax, which is on a whole nother frequency. Mm-hmm. So we want people to start off the year knowing that, hey, I'm aware of what's due. Yes, owning a business, there's a lot of things that you probably weren't aware of when it comes to payroll tax and sales tax over and beyond just running your business. But that's why we're having these chats on a monthly basis, so we can help folks stay focused on their business, but also know, hey, I need to chat with my CPA so I can make sure that I'm hitting all my deadlines.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I love these chats.
Yes. I get excited. I'm always looking forward to talking with you, Michelle. So let's jump in. And Michelle, can you tell the listeners a little bit, what is a 990 for those that aren't familiar with this form?
Oh, gosh. Great. You know, we often think of a 990 or refer to it as a tax return because it's like a tax return and sort of the way it's filed and the timing of which it's filed and that it's filed following the fiscal year end of an organization and it's an IRS form, all those great things. But it's really an informational return. So it has a lot of information on it. I like to think of it personally as a marketing tool. Because, yeah, I mean, it's kind of turning it a little bit on its head, I realize.
Yep.
But it is, it's required of not-for-profit organizations. And I know we're going to, you know, talk more about that. But a 990 in particular, when you think of it as a marketing tool, because it's so chock full of information about the nonprofit organization. I mean, it covers everything. It talks at length about the programs of the not-for-profit. It also talks about donors. It talks about policies and procedures that the organization is using and has implemented. It talks about even like salaries of key personnel.
Yes.
It talks about who's on the board in the organization. It talks about donors, you know, who's donated, as well as it has great financial information. It shows the balance sheet or statement of activities and statement of financial position of the organization. Those are the terminology, by the way, that we use for a balance sheet and P&L for a not-for-profit. It's a statement of financial position and a statement of activities. But all that information is put onto the 990 and it's provided to the public. So that's why I like to think of it as a marketing tool, because this is the organization's opportunity to shine, tell the world what it is that you do on the 990, because that is a lot of times where potential donors will go to check on the organization and find out more information about the organization. They'll go to that GuideStar website. It's called GuideStar. That's where the 990 can be found. It's available to the public. Mm-hmm. And that's where you want to put the information. You want to make sure you can entice donors to donate and contribute to your fabulous organization.
Absolutely. And like you said, we just want to keep emphasizing that this is a public document. So you always want to make sure that your board reviews it, that it's accurate. Yeah. Anytime you're filing anything, you want to make sure it's accurate, but especially that it's public. And one thing when I realized going into the nonprofit world is that, yes, the salaries of key employees are on there. So that was a discussion of employees. They were like, well, I know so-and-so makes this. And I'm like, how do you know this? And they're like, it's on the 990 online. Right. And I was like, whoa. And coming from a public background, that's never discussed, you know, like it's very secretive. So I love the transparency, because also we know in the nonprofit world is that you have people doing a lot of work, wearing many hats, and a lot of times they're not paid what they should be paid. So I actually like it to use that as a sounding board when I'm making recommendations to nonprofit clients on what they should pay their executive directors and some of their key folks in management.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that you mentioned the word transparency. It does sort of sometimes feel a little kind of ugh, you know, when you think about putting the salaries of key personnel on such a public document. But again, we have to remember not-for-profits are owned, if you will, by the public. You know, that's who we're serving in the not-for-profit world. So it's important that we have this transparency, that we can be open about here's what we're doing. Here's all the great things we're providing. Here's all the information you want to know about donors and who's on our board and what our key personnel are paid. I think also what's important to note is that it's a very large form. There's a lot of information on it, as I just mentioned, but not all not-for-profits have to file the full 990. So there's also one that's called a 990EZ form, and it's for smaller not-for-profits that will have gross receipts of less than $50,000. And then, you know, also a 990N, and I apologize, the postcard, that 990N is for those that have less than $50,000. And we call it a postcard because it's small and it's very just a couple of quick, short questions you can do right online. But you also have the ability to use either a shortened, condensed form of the 990EZ or the full 990. And of course, there's other forms involved with the 990 that are particular if you have if you're a private foundation or if you have unrelated business income. There's additional forms such as those things that will need to be filed as well, depending upon your organization, for sure.
Awesome. And then also there are some exceptions to filing the 990, which I honestly wasn't as familiar with until it affected me. You know, I'm always talking about my son's school, Asheville Pisgah Christian School in Candler, North Carolina. It's an amazing school. And they had to have a financial review, which is similar to an audit. And the first questions the accountants asked is, hey, can we get a copy of your 990? And we didn't have a 990. And I was like, I didn't know that you couldn't file a 990. Well, it's because we were part of a group return. So there are exceptions to filing if you're part of a group return, which means the parent and the subordinate organizations of each group exemption rule must agree of, you know, who's going to be responsible. So a lot of times the parent chooses to file on behalf of the group. A lot of faith-based organizations, religious schools, missions, missionary groups, many government corporations, state institutions, they are exempt as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's important to understand, you know, what is, you know, considered an exemption, because it's a lot of work to put together the 990. And if you're exempt from filing, you know that, but also understand all the great information you need to provide on the 990 if you do need to file. So I love that you mentioned the exceptions to filing as well.
Yes, absolutely. So let's jump into, you know, I know the next question people are probably thinking, well, gosh, there's this 990EZ, there's a 990N, then there's maybe I don't even have to file. Well, who prepares a 990, Michelle, and when is it due?
So I love the question about who should prepare a 990. You know, like income tax returns, anyone can prepare an income tax return. Anyone can prepare a 990. Mm-hmm. You can actually do it right online. But I strongly encourage, and I feel like, Veronica, you probably agree with me on this, it's probably best to get a professional to help you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I've even second-guessed myself doing a 990N. You know, it was a new nonprofit that had less than 50,000 in sales, but I was just like, I just, you know, and I also had another CPA that she's been in the nonprofit world for years. She just reviewed it for me, and I'm a CPA with over 15 years of experience. So I say all that to say, similar to your taxes, some people don't want to do TurboTax and do their own taxes. Some people don't want to go online and fill out the EZ form. So we highly recommend that you find a qualified accountant that has experience doing 990s, and that their expertise might not just be public companies, because it's a completely different playing field.
It totally is. And, you know, there, like I said, there's so much information on the 990. You just want to make sure that you're preparing it correctly. I mean, they're going to ask questions like, you know, like I mentioned, policies and procedures that you have in place. Even things like, are you performing lobbying activities, or did you receive lobbying money? So, I mean, these are things that can be sort of gotchas, if you will. You just want to be careful, want to make sure that you're answering all the questions, and that you're attaching the appropriate forms, because there are like sub forms to the whole 990. So it is really important to get a professional to help you, if at least not to prepare it, to at least review it like you did. But that's something I just always recommend, that you should get a professional to help you whenever it comes to filing.
Absolutely. And when is this form due?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, the income tax return, we always think of either a March 15th or an April 15th deadline, depending upon your organization. Well, the 990 has a similar type of deadline. It's also due on the 15th, but it's due on the 5th month following the end of your fiscal year. So if you're a calendar year organization and your fiscal year ends on December 31st, that means May 15th is the deadline for filing your 990. Similarly, if you're like a fiscal year ends on June 30th, a lot of not-for-profits have a June 30th year end. That means your tax return, your 990, your informational return, is going to be due on November 15th. So that's 5 months on the 15th day of the 5th month following the end of your fiscal year, whenever that should occur. And so like income tax returns, you can also file for extensions.
I was just going to say that to add more confusion to it. So on top of that 5th month, you could add 6 months.
Right. You can file for an extension for sure. But, you know, it's just something to be aware of. It is a requirement. You do want to make sure that you're filing that, even if you're a small not-for-profit. And by not-for-profit, remember, that doesn't necessarily have to be a charitable organization. For example, it could be a membership organization. There's lots of different types of 501c organizations. But just, I think sometimes people forget that that's required. You should be filing a 990 of some sort, either the 990N, the EZ, or the full 990, and that it is due by the 15th of the 5th month following the end of your fiscal year.
Perfect. Well, let's jump into what happens if you do not file a 990. I know. And, you know, I just want to remind everybody that it takes a lot of work to get your 501c3 designation. So the last thing you want to do is not follow the rules of the IRS that they have with filing. And just like you said, Michelle, work with a professional. And, you know, yes, it's going to be an investment, because, you know, sometimes the file might be a couple thousand dollars, depending on how much work your organization has and how many forms have to be filled out. But if an organization fails to file a Form 990 3 years in a row, the IRS will automatically revoke your tax exempt status, which is huge.
Yes, that's ugly.
And, you know, the IRS has no appeal process for this automatic revocation due to the failure to file an appropriate 990. Because I get if you forgot 1 year, and then you get into your second year. But to go 3 years, the IRS takes this very seriously. And the reason why they do this is because you do get a lot of folks that are a bit skeptical of like, oh, well, Michelle just started this nonprofit because she just wants to, you know, avoid paying taxes. And really, it's a for-profit. No, no, no. Michelle's filed her 990. She's mm-hmm. been totally transparent. All nonprofits is required for you to have a board. The board has to meet at least once out of the year. Most boards, Michelle and I sit on boards, meet typically yep. monthly or quarterly. We're going over the financials.
Yeah,
we're approving major positions, salaries, raises. So if you have a functioning nonprofit, there's no fraudulent activity that's going on, but it does smell of fraud if you go 3 years and you haven't reported what you've been doing to the IRS. So I think this is a great thing. This is one thing I will agree that the IRS has done really good.
I would agree.
Absolutely. So I think that that is key, is for folks that just know what you're getting into. If you're going to start a nonprofit, it needs to be one that this is a mission-based, something that you really believe in that's going to help the community. But you also need to be aware that even though you don't have to pay income tax and file an income tax return, this 990 is very important. And Michelle hit it on the head. It's not just to keep your status, but you want people to know, possible donors and people that's going to be a part of the nonprofit, to know all the great things that you're doing in your organization.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you said it perfectly, Veronica. I mean, it sounds ugly in some organizations, you know, and I have some clients that fall victim to this as well. You know, it just maybe fell through the crack or something, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. For one reason or another, or we thought it was being filed and it wasn't, or you just get behind. But if you miss it for 3 years in a row, your status will automatically be revoked by the IRS, and then you have to refile, and then you have to pay fees on top of that. And so it does get pretty ugly. And so it's complicated, but you know, you can avoid that, like you said, by just simply filing each year. You can get caught up. If you've missed 1 or 2 years, do it quickly.
Yeah.
File those. But you know, don't hit that third year without filing and lose your status. And again, like you said, it's really about being a public organization, mm-hmm. And making sure that we, you know, share all this really great information and be transparent about what it is we as a not-for-profit organization are doing to serve the public. And that's the whole idea behind the 990. And it has a lot of information, a lot of forms, again, you know, having a professional help you, but make sure you stay on top of it and get that filed for sure.
Absolutely. I know I just had to provide the 990 for an insurance company. You know, one of the requirements for directors and officers insurance is they want a copy of the latest financials and 990 and management responses. You know, like, so if you're getting to where you're over 50,000 and you have to make sure that you have a good tax CPA on staff, because it's going to come up in other areas that you don't realize. Because again, like you said, Michelle, this is a public document that kind of just solidifies everything that you've been doing and operating. And it provides confidence for those that want to provide services to you, that want to donate. And I think it's just a great document to kind of just tell the story of your business high level.
Right, exactly. You know, also, you should be actually filing a North Carolina charitable solicitation license. It is also a lot easier if you also have your 990, because that is going to be a document that will be easily, you know, given to the North Carolina Secretary of State's office for that charitable solicitation license. You can provide the information differently, but you also want to remember that you have to file and renew each year your North Carolina charitable solicitation license. And so having the 990 makes it hugely helpful for that as well.
Absolutely. Well, Michelle, just like that, we're to the end of the show, and this is going to air the middle of February. So those that are listening, you have time to file your 990, and you can reach out to a local tax CPA. That's not me and Michelle's expertise. We could definitely, you know, give recommendations if you want to reach out to us. But again, we just want those that are listening to know that the 990 is a great thing. And just stay on top of it. And if you have gotten behind a year or two, it's not too late, but please do not get behind more than 3 years. Similar to income tax, if people have not filed for 3 years, you have an automatic audit with the IRS. Unfortunately, with the 990, there is no audit. You're just going to be shut down. You know, you're going to lose that tax exemption status, which you worked so hard to get. So again, we just ask all the listeners that have a nonprofit, if you sit on a board, just make sure that that's something that you're making those that make the decisions in the business aware.
Yeah, also, and I also want to just reiterate the point you made earlier about, you know, your board needs to be reviewing your 990 each year, mm-hmm. as well as even looking at the financials of the organization on a monthly or quarterly basis. You know, that's why most boards will have a finance committee and make sure that, you know, they're sharing all this information, but the 990 does have to be reviewed and approved by the board as well. So just something to remember, right, when you're preparing this documentation. And if you're sitting on a board of a not-for-profit, ask the organization for a copy of not just the financials, but also the 990, and make sure that you're looking at that on a regular basis.
And just as an audit, like you said, Michelle, you can go on GuideStar and just check and see, you know, and if you notice that your organization's missing a year, immediately go to your executive director or someone that's in the finance position, the finance committee, and just say, hey, guys, I don't know if you were aware, we're a new organization. I just want to make sure that we're staying on top of these 990s because I'm not seeing us online, and we should have had this filed and should have had it reviewed.
Right.
So, well, awesome. Well, Michelle, thank you again for joining me on another amazing CPA chat. Can't wait to chat with you next month. And I just want to thank again all the listeners for tuning in. You know, please come back next week, same place, same time, 4:30 p.m. Fridays. And you can stay connected to all things Biz Radio Asheville by going to bizradioasheville.com.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. And be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.